Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateechi Ministry. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about the presence of the Lord. And I chose this message because the Lord has been dealing with me. My pastor preached a message on the presence of the Lord. He's doing a series on it. And I heard another pastor, man of God, Pastor Almaya Dawson in Norcross, Georgia, preaching on it yesterday. So I wanted to share some things that God had showed me in his word. I wanted to give honor to whom honor is due. My pastor is a great man of God, Pastor Corey Hambrick. I love you. And I just wanted to share some things that he shared with us tonight that really blessed me in the Bible study. And one of the scriptures that he quoted was Psalm 16 and 11. He said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, we are talking about the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And I like to call this part two because my pastor preached this revelation to me first, and so I want to let him, I just call that part one, and then I pick up where he left off, where the Lord gave me on part two. And it says I also want to say he always gets it started, and I can't turn it off, and I don't want to. So the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. We know the word says joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the presence of the Lord is joy unspeakable. That's in 1 Peter 1 and 8. He also preached on Jonah 1 and 1 through 5, where Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. But what the Lord gave me was, when we talk about the presence of the Lord, I like to remind myself that the enemy is my enemy because I have free access to what he will never be able to receive again. I can enter into the presence of God at will. But in Job 1 and 6, in Job 2 and 1, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now I believe Satan was one of the anointed cherub that covereth the throne of God, because he stood in the presence of God and he worshiped God. The Bible says that his music was built within him. In Ezekiel 28 and 14 through 16, the Bible says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." The reason why Satan recognizes the anointing on you is because he was anointed. The Bible says he is the anointed cherub that covereth. So he was anointed at one time. That's why he told, when the demon was looking at the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, I think around the seventh or the eighth chapter, he said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Because the devil recognizes the anointing. He recognizes the anointed ones. So the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 and 14 through 16, that "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and God said, I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee." I want to stop and pray because the devil's trying to tie my tongue up, and he's a liar. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit that's working against me right now as far as my words. Let them come out clear and precise in the mighty name of Jesus. I give you glory and I give you praise as I release this Bible study unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So he said, "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now I want to pay attention a little bit here to where he says, "O covering cherub." We know he was an angel. We know he was a cherubim angel, okay? So this scripture here proves that he covered something, because it says, "O covering cherub." So he did cover something in heaven. I believe, in my Holy Ghost imagination, as my Bishop Dawson used to say, I believe it was the throne of God, because there are two cherubs in heaven now covering the throne of God. And we know that from studying the Ark of the Covenant, amen, and we know that from studying, amen, the Book of Revelation, where it talks about the angels covering the throne of God. So the Bible talks about our God is a consuming fire. He presented himself to Moses in the burning bush. Let's talk about God being a consuming fire. And let's talk about fire, because we see right here in Ezekiel, we talked about Satan being in heaven, covering something in heaven, and from the midst of the stones of fire. So from the stones of fire, we're going to talk about fire in heaven and the fire of God. The Bible talks about our God is a consuming fire. He presented himself to Moses in the burning bush, and the reason why that was so amazing is because it was a fire that did not consume the bush, the Bible says. There was nothing miraculous about a burning bush in the desert. That is normal. But the fire did not consume the bush. That means it was an eternal fire. It just kept burning and kept burning and kept burning. The bush was not consumed. The bush was still there, but there was a fire in the midst of it. So Moses knew that that was something that was spectacular. He knew that was something from God, and he knew that was a spiritual significance because it represented God. So it got Moses' attention, because the fire did not consume the bush. It was out of the ordinary. Now, in another scripture that talks about fires in Genesis 19 and 24, the Lord rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah out of heaven. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom, the Bible says, and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Let's talk about 2 Kings 20:11. Another scripture that talks about fire. Remember the angels that came to get Elijah? They came in chariots of fire from heaven. Now, the Bible says, and it came to pass in 2 Kings 2:11, that as they still went on and talked, talking about Elijah and Elisha, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So here again we see that the fire of God, God is represented, amen. There is fire in heaven, chariots of fire, horses of fire, amen, that came to get Elijah. Another scripture that talks about the fire of God, 2 Kings 6:17. This is when the angels that were battling, Elijah prayed that the young man's eyes would be opened. And the Bible says he saw the enemy surrounded by a vast army and chariots of fire. And so in the presence of God, there must be fire. Let's look at 2 Kings 6:17. The Bible says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, in the spirit, of course. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, let's talk some more. In the New Testament, we can find some more scriptures. In Acts chapter 2 and 3, the Bible says there were tons of fire from heaven that set on each of them, like as a fire when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let's turn over to Acts 2 and 3. The Bible says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or many tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. The Bible talks about a baptism. Another thing about fire, it talks about being baptized with fire, which represents power. Let's turn over to Hebrews 4:16. We're going to get back talking about the presence of the Lord tonight. So we talked about fire because in the presence of the Lord there is fire. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, Paul encouraged us to come boldly here into the presence of God. He calls it the throne of grace, which is also represented in the Ark of the Covenant, which is representative of the throne of God. Because the cherubim, angels' wings, covered the ark the same way the cherubim covered the throne of God. God commands us to come boldly or confidently approach the throne of God. Why? Because we need mercy, that we may obtain mercy, the Bible says. Let's look at this. What does the Bible teach us on the mercy of God? First, everything that God does for us, he does it because of his mercy. It is because of his mercies, the Bible says, that we are not consumed. Because of the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed. God expects for us to show mercy in order to obtain mercy. In Matthew 5:7, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against God's judgment. That means we don't get what we deserve. Amen. Mercy is the opposite of judgment. God said we shall find him when we seek him with our whole heart. But let me talk a little bit about mercy and judgment before we go on and talk about the next thing. Amen. The one thing I want you to know, mercy, the Bible says in James 2 and 13, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. This is something that we as saints of God need to memorize and practice. Mercy rejoices against judgment. That means we don't give people what they deserve. We show mercy. Amen. That means when somebody do you wrong, you have mercy. You don't go tit for tat. You don't go back. You don't do an eye for an eye and all of that, because mercy rejoices against judgment. The Bible says if you don't show mercy, God is not going to show you mercy. Amen. So we want God to show us mercy. So we have to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That means we don't get what we deserve. We don't give people what they deserve. Amen. Mercy is the opposite of judgment. I just wanted to say that again. Now, let's talk about seeking God and being in the presence of God. God shall said that we shall find him when we seek him with our whole heart. Now, some of the scriptures that back this up is in Jeremiah 29 and 13. The Bible says, and you shall seek me, talking about being in the presence of God, and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Being in the presence of God means seeking the Lord, and we shall find him when we seek him with our whole heart. Amen. Being in the presence of God, Moses was in the presence of God. And we're going to talk about some key points about Moses tonight, because he was a man of God, and God spoke to Moses, and Moses was a friend of God. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and go over some key points, and we're going to read on down through. Let's turn over to Exodus 33, starting in verse 11. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now here we see that Moses spoke to the Lord face to face as a man talks to his friend. Amen. Let's talk about this for a minute. When you are in the presence of God, amen, you have an opportunity to become friends with the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about becoming friends with God. How do you become a friend of God? Why would you want to become a friend of God? It seems obvious, but it's very important to become a friend of God. Who else was a friend of God in the scripture? The answer to the question, why would you want to become a friend of God, is because being a friend of God gets you special privileges that other people don't have. So let's talk about who else in the Bible sought to be a friend of God, or who was known to be a friend of God. Let's turn over to James chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, then he was called the friend of God. In order to be a friend of God, you have got to be in the presence of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. In verse 14, God said, my presence shall go with thee. Getting back over to Moses, Exodus 33. And verse 14, God told Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Now, my pastor already said tonight, he said, in order to have peace, you have to have peace before you can enter the presence of God. Well, this backs up what he said, because here in verse 14, the Bible says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That means peace. Amen. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In verse 15, Moses said, if your presence does not go with me, then I don't want to go. Take me not up from here. Verse 16, it is the presence of God that separates a child of God from the world. Let me read that in verse 16. In verse 12, let's go back up to verse 12. I want to read it straight from the Bible, because the word of God is Jesus Christ is the word, and there's an extra anointing when you read the scripture from the word of God. The Bible says, Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up people. In verse 12, we're in Exodus 33, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. that comes from being in the presence of the Lord, God will know you by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, or mercy, because grace and mercy go together. Remember, the grace of God, amen, the mercy of God, hallelujah. He said, show me now, if I have found grace in your sight, like you said, show me now thy way that I may know thee, amen. To become a friend of God, in the presence of God, you can get to know God. Moses said, that I might know thee, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. That's verse 14. Verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up from here or hence. Verse 16, for wherein, this is a key verse, verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. When you are in a relationship with God, you are separated unto the Lord. That's what sanctification means, to be separated. You mean you have separated yourself from the world. Sanctification is not a denomination like man wants you to think. The Bible says, by holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You cannot achieve holiness until you first sanctify yourself and separate yourself from the world. Amen. So the Bible says, how shall it be known that we are your people? Is it not that we are separated from all the other people? Amen. So this is a key principle to Scripture. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 17, I will do this thing also that you have spoken. See, when you are a friend of God, God answers your prayers because you're praying in the will of God. No longer my will, but your will be done, because you're no longer you. Paul said, I must decrease that he can increase. Jesus said, I didn't come down to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. When you become a friend of God, you no longer have your own will or your own way. You're only concerned about doing things that please him. So the Lord said, I will do this thing that you have spoken, Moses, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, he said in verse 18, I beseech thee, this is Moses talking, show me your glory. Hallelujah. Moses went a little bit farther. The closer you be to God, the closer you get to God, the more you can ask God for different things. That's why I told you, become a friend of God. You have special privileges. Moses had a special privilege here because he said, show me your glory. Verse 19. This is God talking. He said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Amen. So God is telling Moses, I am going to do this thing for you because I am going to be gracious to you, and I'm going to show mercy to you. I'm going to answer your prayer. Verse 20, and he said, but this is God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. We're going to talk about that tonight. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft or in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's talk about this, amen. Back up in verse 17, well, we talked about verse 16. It is the presence of God that separates a child of God from the world. Verse 17, when you are in the presence of God, he knows you by name. And I want to add first name basis. Amen. When you are a friend of God, you can make a special request like Moses did in verse 18. He says, show me your glory. Now, let's talk about another person that walked with God until there was Enoch. Enoch was a friend of God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God until he was not, because God took him. So Enoch was another person that was a friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God. We talked about that already. And he became the father of faith. He was the first person to exercise the kind of faith necessary to please God. That's why he's called the father of faith, because he was the first person to do that. He believed, the Bible said, against hope. That means some of us, we don't even have hope. But Abraham believed against hope. That means when he had all the hope, that still didn't show in the natural what God was telling him. He had nothing to hope in the natural. He hoped against hope, the Bible says. And he doubted not in his heart, the Bible says. Even though he didn't have anything to in the natural that told him this was going to happen, the Bible says he doubted not in his heart. He said, God will provide, when he did not know how or see that it was even possible. Amen. He said God will provide himself a lamb. And even though God told him to take Isaac and offer up Isaac, he knew that God was able, the Bible say, to resurrect Isaac. So that's why he was willing to kill him, because he knew that God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and then Isaac was the child of promise. So he knew, he believed in the resurrection. He didn't just believe that God was going to provide. He believed in the resurrection power of God. And that is a symbol of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Amen. So he believed against hope, and he did not doubt in his heart. Verse 20, God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. Amen. So being in the presence of God for Moses meant being placed in the cliff of the rock. Now this is a powerful statement when God told Moses, there is a place by me, or in my presence, there is a place by me, in my presence that thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now we know Jesus Christ is the rock. This was a natural rock as well. The most powerful statement of all is when God said, I will place my hand over you. In other words, I will cover you. I will protect you when I pass by, because I don't want you to be destroyed. No man shall see my face and live, but I will protect you. I will cover you, and I will pass when I pass by you, because you are my friend. I know you by name. Hallelujah. You have found grace in my sight. Hallelujah. Being in the presence of God is overwhelming, to say the least, because it's when the spiritual world, which is where God dwells, manifests in the natural world. God said, I will cause my goodness, all of my goodness, to pass before you. Goodness here is the same as glory. Amen? Because we could not take seeing the face of God. Moses couldn't take it. We couldn't take it. And these natural bodies. But we will see his face in our spiritual form one day. But Moses was still in the natural body. He had a work to do. It was not his time to go yet. So God told him, it's not your time to go. No man shall see my face and live. I'm going to cover you and protect you. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, one thing I want you to know was after this experience that Moses' face shone so bright that the people could not look upon him. They had to put a veil over his face when he came back down from the mountain because he had been in the presence of the Lord. I wonder how people say that they have been in the presence of God and they were not changed or affected by it. You cannot come out of God's presence and not be in a better place than you were before you went in, some shape, form, or fashion. Because Moses, when he came out of the presence of God, saints, they had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't even look at him. For 40 days, he was up there with the Lord. When he came out, when he came back down, the Bible said his face shone brighter than the sun that was in the sky. If you can't look up there in that sun, you couldn't look at the face of Moses when he had been in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I just want to encourage you tonight with that. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of it. I just wanted to share some scriptures with you about being in the presence of God. And I said, Lord, you know, I appreciate my pastor so much. He always gives me a revelation. He always gives me the word of the Lord. And I thank God for that. But it's like iron sharpened of iron. It's like every time he preach a message, you know, I'm just writing and taking notes. The Holy Spirit is talking to me as he is preaching and giving me scriptures, amen, and revelation knowledge on what he's saying. Amen. So that's why I always have to come back on most Thursday nights. I preach my messages on Sunday night and Thursday night because I'm so on fire from going to church and hearing the word and the revelation that God gave him. And I'm just like overflowing with the word. So I have to give it to you. Amen. While it's fresh, fresh manna. That's the name of this ministry, manna, teaching ministry. It's fresh manna. Amen. I don't want it to go. I didn't want to go to bed tonight without sharing that word that the Lord gave me today. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that you use it for your walk with God, to improve your walk with God and to bring you closer to Jesus, knowing that you can be a friend of God. God bless you and I love you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministry tonight, and I'll be back with you again in another couple of days. God bless you. I'll let you know on Facebook. If you're not with me on Facebook, you need to sign up. Just send me a message. Let me know you want to be because you heard me on Manna Teaching. You can call me at 770-728-2274 and leave me a message, or you can, if you are already on Facebook with me, it's Manna Teaching. It's under Brenda Amos. Brenda Stanford Amos. God bless you, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Good night.